today on It's Time.
You see, when you realize that God's got so much more than what we're just seeing on a daily basis, that we need to see through spiritual eyes, the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal.
Isaac trembled exceedingly. Why? I believe Isaac realized at that point that God had corrected him. He knew he was not supposed to bless Esau, but because of his fleshly appetite, that savory food, he compromised what he knew God wanted him to do. And I believe this is why, and again, it doesn't come across this way in the English, but in the original Hebrew, he shook beyond shaking. He just melted down. And I believe it was because he realized that though he was going to do what he wanted, God still intervened and blessed the one that Isaac knew was the one that should have been blessed. Now, it is interesting to me also that in these declarations, this is the way things were done then. When you bless somebody, basically you gave them the will to your things. And this is what Isaac really didn't care. All he wanted was a stomach full of the savory food. I'll bless whoever brings it to me. Isaac, again, had compromised. I believe when he came into that, because this word trembled exceedingly means he was scared to death because of what he'd done or what he was going to do. Esau heard it and cried exceedingly with a great bitter cry. Bless me also, my father. But he said, your brother has come in deceit and taken away your blessing. Now, something important to remember here. Esau being the firstborn, Esau believing that the birthright was his, was also a lie. Why is that? He sold his birthright to Jacob for a mess of pottage. Everyone in this story, nobody told the truth. Now, you say, Mike, what's all that's going? In spite of man's inability to do what God wants, God's will is still done. Wow. Friends, do you realize what a relief that is to you? That's why Paul says all things are lawful for you as a believer, but not all things are the best for you, or expedient, as the Bible says. What that means is this. First of all, God is real. Second of all, this world is not spinning out of control. I know it's hard to not believe that as you watch the news. But this is all going according to what the Word of God says. Again, we've shared this before. Just because God knows the end from the beginning doesn't stop us from living it out. And as you live your life, you begin to see the hand of God, that mysterious, invisible hand of God in your life. Even that you're here today, think of the times that you know that you should have died. And miraculously, God preserved your life. That's the hand of God. And see, the thing is, you don't have to even sometimes be even real sensitive to spiritual things to see God's intervention in your life, even as a non-believer. God allows these things to cause us to be aware that He's God. You know, it's interesting. The book of Romans says the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. Well, if it's invisible, how can you see it? Because you don't see everything in this life, friends, with your eyes. You see it sometimes in the spirit. Have you ever been around somebody? They look nice. They smile sweet. And there's an unction inside of you that says, don't trust this person. Have you ever seen something that you thought, well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and something happens, and then you find out if that thing hadn't happened, that you might have been part of that pileup on the freeway? We begin to realize that there's more going on in the unseen realm that a lot of times even we want to admit, even as Christians. The Bible says the footsteps of a righteous man are divinely orchestrated. You see, when you realize that God's got so much more than what we're just seeing on a daily basis, that we need to see through spiritual eyes, the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. I believe this is why Isaac shook, scared to death, because he realized, I'm going to bless Esau, even though I'm supposed to bless Jacob, and then he ends up blessing Jacob anyway. No wonder he shook. Now, here's another thing. We just read that. Let's review. Let's go back to the previous chapter, verse 35. The two wives that Esau took, verse 35, they were a grief in the mind of Isaac and Rebekah. He knew there was something seriously wrong in the heart of Esau. Yet because of his carnal, fleshly desires, he was willing to compromise what God wanted instead of for what he wanted. Didn't get away with it. Now, isn't that amazing? The Bible says that the things that the devil intended for your demise, God turns around and makes them for your good. Only God can do that. Religion of the world can't do that. And I've shared this so many times, but it's so amazing because I watch it. You know, you'll be flipping through television and you'll come across, you know, the docu-channels or whatever, and you'll see the temples and the Buddhas and all these things, and they all got the little people bowing down and incense burning and, you know, trying to get right with God. It's interesting, within the human kind of man, we know that we're at enmity with God. We're an enemy of God. And I don't care whether you go into Asia, you go around the world, you'll find people trying to get on the good side of God through religious practice, burning incense, repetitious prayers, all these things, somehow to get on the good side of God. Well, here's the point. You're on the good side of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus appeased the Father. You don't have to burn incense. You don't have to recite prayers. You don't have to crawl up the Sistine Chapel on your knees on broken glass. God paid it all for you. That's good news. But here's what makes real Bible Christianity different than the religions of the world. God is bigger than the things you've done wrong, and God rebuilds you. No other religion offers that. If you listen to them, they might tell you how maybe you can get right with God. It's not true, but they'll tell you that. But they never say, hey, and by the way, God will rebuild your life. They don't tell you that because God, their God can't. Yours can. And in spite of what we're reading today, God's will was accomplished. He'd scarcely gone out, the Bible says. Esau walks in. And then he realized what had happened. And Esau said, verse 36, is he not rightly named Jacob? No, the name Jacob means heel catcher. He came out of his mother's womb holding onto the heel of Esau, which is not a good name. It means scoundrel or supplanter, or I'm going to take advantage of you. Imagine naming your kid. Oh, you're a cute little kid. Why don't I call you Dirty Sneaky Thief? Oh, that's a good name. Gee, Mom, Dad, couldn't you thought of a better name? That's what they means. Dirty Sneaky Thief. Yeah, I should have known. His name is Jacob. So, isn't he rightly named that? For he supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing. He didn't take away his birthright. He sold it to Jacob for a mess of pottage. Have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I have made him your master. All of his brethren that I have given to him as servants, with grain and wine I have sustained him. What now shall I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, O father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Not because he was sorry, but because he didn't get the goodies. You know, it's noteworthy here that Jacob went on as father of the Hebrew, one of the fathers of the Hebrew race. We still have him with us today. Esau, on the other hand, was the father of the Edomites. The Edomites were always an enemy of Israel. And the last known Edomite in the Bible is Herod the Great. He was the last one. After him, we find no more record of any more Edomites. They're gone. They're missing. Now he says, Isaac, his father, answered and said, "Behold, your dwelling shall be the dwelling of fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven above. But your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck." And Esau hated his brother because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." In other words, when my dad kicks off, days of mourning are over, Jacob's dead. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by his intention to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise and flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's anger turns away, and until your brother turns away, his anger turns away from you, and he forgets what he has done to what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you back from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" And so Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth, like these are the daughters in the land, what good will my life be to me?" She says, "I'm sending you away for two reasons. One, to get out of the wrath of your brother. And also, you don't want a wife from around these parts. These women are nutsy, and you need to get out of town. So you go back and find a wife from my father's, you know, from my brother's family." Now you look at this, and his anger kindled against him. He feels that he made a deal. He had remorse. He had tears. He was sorry. Not sorry before God. He was sorry he made the deal in selling him his birthright for a mess of pottage. You know, there's an old saying, be careful what you sign. I believe, friends, we need to be aware of that. Be careful what you sign. Be careful what you commit yourself to. See, Esau had no use for the birthright. He had no use for being the spiritual leader of the family. Fathers, dads, I want to encourage you, be the spiritual leader of your family. When your kids go to bed at night, go in and kneel down by their bed and lay your hands on them and kiss them and pray for them. And when you're done praying, then let them pray. And if you hear strange things coming out of their little mouths, you'll be able to know how to correct it. Be the spiritual leader. Grandma, grandpa, today, because we have such a post-Christian era, you may need to be that spiritual governance in your family's life. Be that. You say, "But Mike, I only have them for a couple of weeks out of the year when they come and spend the summer with me." Then you be the very best spiritual influence that you can be in their little lives to let them know, first of all, there's a God who loves and loves them. You're not always going to be around. I'm not always going to. Every single night I pray with my little daughter. And what I really love about it is if I miss, because I'm busy sometimes, I feel this little pull on my leg. And she'll say, "Daddy, come pray with me." And I'll tell you, when somebody says that to you, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if you're in the kitchen getting ice cream. I don't care if you're out in the shop working on a bolt. When somebody pulls on your leg and says, "Daddy, come pray with me," I drop it all and I go, "Sorry, honey." And we go in and pray every night. I really believe, friends, that again, that spiritual governance, that birthright that God has given you, especially dads, fathers, that male role that is so important, that is horribly missing in our entire society today. I've shared this so many times, but you go back and watch the TV sitcoms of the 1960s, 61, 62, whether it's the Andy Griffith Show, Father Knows Best, My Three Sons, dad was always there and dad always had the right answer. But today, Bart Simpson, The Simpsons, dad is the stupidest person in the room. The 13-year-old kid sitting in the corner knows so much more than dad does. And fathers are dissed by Hollywood to the point of the stupidest individuals live on this earth. If you don't believe me, watch TV. Wow, that's a different thing for a pastor to say, ain't it? But you'll notice that dads are always the doofus in the room. Why is that? Because you represent a father image. That same father image that your Father in heaven wants to reveal to you. And if you can destroy the father image, our Father which art in heaven doesn't mean a whole lot anymore, does it? See, that's the way the devil works. He goes after anything that is of value. Friends, this morning, we looked at a crazy story. Everybody lying, deceiving everyone. But nevertheless, Jacob walks away with the blessing. Could it have been different? I think so. I don't think any of this would have been necessary. As an example, going back to that last verse of the last chapter, and they were a grief in the mind of Isaac and Rebekah, these wives that Esau had taken. And it may very well have been that all maybe Rebekah would have had to say to Isaac was, "You know, honey, we really can't give him the birthright. First of all, you know what God said. And second of all, you know his pagan wives are dragging him the wrong way. Let's not do that." And Isaac could have said, "Yeah, but I still like the beef jerky." No, he could have said, "You're right. We'll just bless Jacob instead." All the lying, all the deception, everything would have gone away. But it's interesting to me how God works in mysterious and strange ways. Friends, you are not, first of all, saved by accident. Second of all, you're not here or listening to this by accident. And third, you have to realize the spiritual birthright that God has given you, especially men. That God wants you to be the spiritual leader of your home. And how do we do that? Well, first of all, we learn from a daddy in heaven. You see, that's not hard. If you have a relationship with your Father in heaven, you think about how he takes care of us and how God in heaven doesn't give me everything I want. Thank the Lord. When we pray, have you noticed? We pray and sometimes God says yes. And I go, yay. And sometimes God says, wait. And I go, okay. And then God says sometimes no. And I stomp my feet and I go, "You don't love me anymore." That's what kids do. And then you start growing in Jesus. And you pray and God says no. The invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. And then maybe a month, a week, a year, a decade later, you look and see what would have happened if God would have gave you what you were screaming so bad you wanted. And you go, "Oh God, thank you. Thank you, you said no." And as you get older in the Lord, you're going to find something, and I promise you, when daddy says no, say thank you. You know, the Bible says God will withhold no good thing from you. And if God says no, you just say, Father knows best. You're going to be so much farther ahead than being like an immature, bratty teens kid that says, I thought you loved me. How come all this is going wrong? Is it possible for a mature Christian to act that way? Oh, I've acted that way a lot in my life. Doesn't mean I want to. It just simply means I have to go back to what real salvation is. He knows everything. I know nothing. He knows more about tomorrow than I remember about yesterday. All God wants me to do is say, okay, God, I'm in you. Do your plan. I don't want to get into all this stuff that we just read about. Just do what you want to do in my life. You see, God's will still be accomplished in our life, but oh, we go through so many grievous things. I think one of the most grievous things that we read about here, you don't find this unless you do some research. Rebecca says, now go to my brother Laban's house. This was the last time that Jacob would ever see his mother alive. You see, that separation, this having to run for your life because of what you did, because of all the things that should have never really happened, because the anointing of God was there. God says the elder will serve the younger. All of that was all unnecessary. But because of that, there's a price to pay, and he never saw his mother alive again. You see, there's a price to pay for rebellion. Doing it God's way is so much better. You say, well, I don't need to accept Christ as my Savior. I'm the master of my destiny. I did it my way. Poor old Frankie boy, that doesn't do anything for you on Judgment Day, does it? It's about being about your Father's business. This morning, if you've never turned your life over to God, you're still lying, you're still conniving, you're still doing all this kind of stuff to try to make it happen. Repent. And just say, Lord, from this day forward, I want to do it your way. You're going to find your life excel because of the time no longer wasted in deception. This morning, if you've never prayed and asked Christ in your life, and you said, I know, that's the way I've lived my life. I got to remember who I've lied to make everything work because, man, it gets so complicated. I just want to invite you this morning to come to Christ. The Bible says he'll forgive you. The weight's gone. And when the weight is gone, you're free to be who God made you. If you've never prayed and you don't want another 5 years, 10 years, month or year like you just had, you pray this. Give it to God. From this day forward, be about your Father's business. And that's what we repent from, is doing it our way. And okay, God, I'm going to do it your way. You're going to find yourself blessed by the King of Kings. If you want to pray, you pray along with me. Those listening by radio, you pray as well. Let God do something brand new in your life. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I invite you into my life today. And I am sorry for the lies and the deceptions that I have allowed to govern my life. To try to make me something that I'm not. So I turn it all over to you. I'm putting it all on you, God. And so now I ask you, make me the best I can be in you. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. His blood covered my sins. And so now I'm free in you. Thank you for eternal life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, please. So I'll have power to speak of you and love for the lost, and I can be about your business forever. And so I commit my life now into your hands. Keep me, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.